at the events of 1968 in Britain and Europe, and what happened to those radical politics of the time. And in 1968, I was trained to be a teacher, which was not, you know, the height of fashion then. And while I was at Brighton Teacher Training College, which was in a set of kind of makeshift buildings on a piece of arable land overlooking a beautiful University of Sussex, very plush buildings, and they were revolting and they were calling out, you know, for the workers to join them and so on. And we actually spent most of our time building adventure playgrounds. And I was involved in Left at the time. I was very involved in the New Left. And was involved in writing the May Day Manifesto in 1968. And it did seem to me I was very attached to the New Left, but at some point after 1968, the New Left kind of, to me, split into two directions. One went off to study Althusser and went into the world of theory and the so-called the long march through the institutions, which for many of the men, they walked into universities and stayed there rest of their life. And the others of us who had taken much actually more cognizance of radical politics in America saw the potentialities of community organizing, very much under the influence actually of a Catholic priest called Saul Alinsky, who Obama has actually, you know, recently rediscovered, this whole kind of Chicago school of community organizing. And Alinsky wrote two books, Rules for Radicals and Red Valley for Radicals. And the other kind of the ones that didn't go to Althusser, the small minority group, that we used to say went into adventure playgrounds. And we were very much saw that our version of radical politics had to be around community organising. Because we were trained to be teachers, we also saw we were trying to connect back to that notion of childhood or the child in the kind of English tradition of Blake and Morris and so on. And always in the post-enlightenment tradition, really what should be, has the right to be, the centre of kind of political and social policy. And in the last 30 years, I've made a living writing and researching about social policy. And time and again, one does come back to what has really happened to childhood in Britain. I trained to be a teacher between 1965 and 1969. And in a way, there were two very strong influences at that college. Those who were going into primary education were very much under the wing of a group of stalwart women, elderly women lecturers, who had grown up on Susan Isaacs, and who were very committed to the primary school and Freudianism and the notion that the child was of this kind of tremendous potentiality to be creative, to paint, to draw, to dance, to sing, music and movement, all that long tradition. And then the other one was those who were going to secondary school tended to get taught by more men who'd actually grown up under the influence of F.R. Leavis and this notion that the school should be a centre where children should be connected back both to their home culture, and a bridge should be made between the home and the wider political and intellectual culture. And I remember Raymond